The way you see your life shapes your life. The way you see your life shapes your life. How do you see your life? Some people see life as a journey, so it's a destination. Some people see it as a roller coaster, so it's up and down. Some might see it as a question mark. We really don't know what to make of it. Sometime back, we said a quote from G.K. Chesterton. He said, "An adventure is only an inconvenience rightly considered." An adventure is actually just an inconvenience, but rightly considered. So according to this, if we were to see life as an adventure, a lot of things would start to make sense. Now, that quote, that idea, it helps. It's a good one. But it actually doesn't speak to my heart. It doesn't help me that much. The way we see life shapes life. And the way we see our life shapes today. Well, what can you expect from today? How is today supposed to work out? For a lot of us here in British Columbia, we've had a lot of societal changes this past week. Businesses are starting to reopen. So there are a lot more changes. Some of these changes have caused us stress. Some have caused us joy. How do all these changes fit into the way we see life? St. Paul begins the second reading today with a prayer for the Ephesians. The Ephesians is a Christian community in modern day Turkey, and St. Paul has never met them. So he's offering them a prayer, and because he's never met them, we might say that this prayer might also apply to all of us, because of course St. Paul's never met us. He says this, "Brothers and sisters, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him." He's praying for a spirit. He wants the Ephesians to have a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the Ephesians, Christians, they already have the Holy Spirit through baptism, but St. Paul wants them to have more of the Holy Spirit. Specifically, he wants them to have the Holy Spirit's wisdom. And one scripture scholar says wisdom can be interpreted to know reality through human reason. So he wants them to have that. But he also wants them to have revelation. Revelation is when the Holy Spirit reveals a certain truth to us. So if we have these two gifts, wisdom and revelation, St. Paul wants us now to know three facts about the future. And this is what he says. "So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe." So three things about the future. So hope obviously refers to eternal life. Second, inheritance, it also refers to heaven. But in the New Testament, whenever they talk about inheritance, they're actually talking about the qualities of the promised land in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Hebrew people were always trying to journey towards the promised land. And so that's the place of security and blessing and peace. Well, that's what heaven is. And finally, number three, St. Paul wants the Ephesians to know the immeasurable greatness of God's power. Why does he want them to know God's power? Because the Ephesians are living in a society with values and priorities very different from their own. And sometimes that culture will persecute them. So St. Paul wants them to know God's power, which will protect them. So if, as St. Paul teaches, these three qualities about the hope, the inheritance, God's power, it's all about getting to heaven. That's what life's about. And today we're celebrating Ascension Sunday when we're celebrating aiming for heaven. If that's what life is about, then how does that affect how we see life here and now? So I want to give you two metaphors about what life is. And I'm going to thank Pastor Rick Warren for these insights. So the first life metaphor is that life is a test. So words like trials, temptations, refining, testing, they occur over 200 times in the scriptures. So Adam and Eve, they failed their test. When Abraham was asked to offer up Isaac, his son, that's a test. God's always watching how we respond to everything in life, how we respond to people, problems, success, conflict, disappointment, anxiety. He even watches to see how we respond to the weather. So whether it's we're opening the door for someone, we're picking up a piece of trash, we're being polite to someone who's helping us at a store, God's watching to see how do we love. Now, I find this metaphor extremely helpful. Life is a test. Why is it so helpful? Because it makes so much sense. God wants to see our character. Who are we really? And we find out who we really are through tests and through suffering. And God wants us to pass the test. He doesn't give these tests just to make life hard. He never will challenge us beyond what we can handle. He always gives us his grace so that we can pass the test. And all these tests are opportunities. So every single moment when we're driving, people annoy us. Now that we're here at Mass, maybe things are not going as we planned. Opportunity to love. And also, God gives us these tests to get us ready for heaven, so that we can get rid of everything that would prevent us from entering into heaven. Now, let me explain how this works. Imagine Deacon Andrew and I were to go to heaven right now. So we'd go right up there, and in heaven, everyone's praising God, everyone's singing. Now, if Deacon and Andrew and I were joining the choirs of angels singing, praising God, I would probably at some point whisper to Deacon Andrew, "Deacon, you're singing too quickly." And then he'd go, he'd get mad at me. Now, what would happen then? Heaven would be over. Because you have now two bad people ruining heaven for everyone. Because heaven is a state of perfection. And Deacon Andrew and I would have brought in our imperfections. Now, actually, the case is he and I would never even be able to enter heaven. Because there's something imperfect in us. And that can't enter the state of perfection. So life is a test. Specifically, we have to get rid of sin. And sin is any offense against God, anything contrary to human nature, any offense against our neighbor. We also have to get rid of all of our attachment to sin. Attachment means you long for it. You enjoy your sins. We're going to have to get rid of that before we enter heaven. Now, more positively, life is a test so that we can grow in love. And love means to will the good of the other. Love is a choice. And as we go through this test, we're constantly trying to build up our ability to choose the good of the other. Now, if we start understanding this, life is a test, everything starts to have significance. Nothing anymore is insignificant. Every second, it's a moment to prove our love for God, to grow in love, to prove our dependence on Him. On Easter Sunday, we use this idea that our capacity to love equals our capacity for joy. So the idea that we said is that if you open up your arms always to love people, you're a very loving person. So your arms embrace everyone. You have a great capacity to give, right? Great capacity to love. That means you also have a great capacity to receive. So your capacity to love equals your capacity for joy. And that the beautiful thing about that is, as we're here on earth and we increase our capacity to love, keep on opening up our arms wide and wider and wider, we increase our capacity for joy so that when we get to heaven, we can receive more of God. Everyone in heaven is perfectly happy, correct? Yep, but not everyone is equally happy. Everyone will be filled to the limit, but some people will have a greater limit than others. Everyone's going to be perfectly happy in heaven. But some will be more happy because they are receiving more of God because they have a greater capacity. So we want to increase our capacity while here on earth. And that means every single moment of our life has eternal implications. The second life metaphor. Life is a temporary assignment. Life is a temporary assignment. So St. Paul's telling us today we're aiming for heaven. And that's why the Bible uses so many different words to describe our journey on earth. The scriptures talk about us being an alien, pilgrim, foreigner, stranger, visitor, traveler. That's how we are on earth. And there are four implications of this reality. Life is a temporary assignment. First one, if life is a temporary assignment, you don't have to suffer forever. All these tests, it will not go on forever. I remember when I listened to Father Robert Spitzer explain, why does God allow suffering? And he said this that really touched my heart. He said, you don't have to do this forever. And that's such a beautiful relief. Second implication, if life is a temporary assignment, then things start coming into perspective. We can start letting the little things in life slide. A lot of things bother us. And sometimes we react disproportionately to certain things in our life. Now, you have to take life seriously because you only have one shot at this life. But there's a beautiful reality. Take life seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. Now, what do I mean by that? Don't take yourself too seriously. Two examples. Some of us take failure too hard. We make a mistake and we become distraught. It's like the end of the world for us. Really? There's something in our heart that's not quite right. You know what it really is? It's our pride. We made a mistake. Another example, some of us are scrupulous. Scrupulous means you see sin where there is no sin because we're hypersensitive. We're seeing things that aren't actually there. Again, it's a form of pride. We actually realize that we're not as holy as we should be. A reporter once asked Pope Benedict XVI, when he was a cardinal, he was called the Panzer Kardinal. In German, that means tank cardinal because he's so demanding and all that. And a reporter once asked him, what role does humor play in the life of a pope? And he answered, I am not a man who constantly thinks up jokes, but I think it's very important to be able to see the funny side of life and its joyful dimension and not to take everything too tragically. I'd also say it's necessary for my ministry. A writer once said, and this writer is G.K. Chesterton, that angels can fly because they don't take themselves too seriously. Maybe we could also fly a bit if we didn't think we were so important. God wants us to fly. And the angels fly, they don't take themselves too seriously because the angels are always looking on the face of God. So who's their focus? God, not themselves. And so for us, we have to focus more on God, less on ourselves. Number three. If life is a temporary assignment, then we know the outcome. We know what's going to happen in the end. Jesus has already conquered the devil, sin, and death. And if we're faithful to him, we know at the end of our life, he will win. And number four, if life is a temporary assignment, then don't get too attached. Once we start realizing that we're only here for a very short time, we stop looking to have our perfect fulfillment here. We stop trying to accumulate everything and be perfectly happy right here. The Bible is very clear. The letter of St. James, God calls people who flirt with the temptations of the world spiritual adulteresses. We're committing spiritual adultery when we flirt with the temptations of the world. So imagine if you were an ambassador to a foreign country. So if you're an ambassador to a foreign country, you'd have to learn the language, the customs, so that you can work in that foreign country and you can accomplish your mission. But imagine if you're in that foreign country for such a long time that you start to enjoy it and you fall in love with it and you forget about your true nation. What would happen? You become a traitor. Instead of representing your homeland, you now be totally enmeshed in this foreign country. And St. Paul says that we are Christ's ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. And that means our true homeland is heaven. So, as I mentioned before Mass, I have a very simple question for all of you as you go home and in the online chat today. It's, what truth or idea in today's homily will help you the most this week? Is it the truth that life is a test, that nothing anymore is insignificant? Is it the idea we are ambassadors for Christ? If some of these ideas have helped you today, would you pass them on to other people in your life? The wonderful thing, if it helps us, can we help other people? And speaking of helping other people, as I mentioned in previous weeks, we're starting Alpha on June 4th and 6th. And I bring up Alpha because some of the truths we've just talked about right now, I mean, they're great. These are beautiful realities, but there's so much more to be discovered in Alpha, where it's just every session, every video, you learn so much. And if we invited some of our friends, it would help them understand what life is really about. In December, we made a list of people we love, and people were praying for that we can invite them to Alpha because we think Alpha would help them. I've already made my list for this round of people I love that I am going to invite. I'd ask you to do the same thing. Can you make a list of people you love, pray for them, and then just go out and invite? Don't worry about the outcome. You just do your part. You just invite and let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. So let's now end with a brief meditation. Could you imagine what it would be like to be in heaven forever, for all eternity? It never ends, and you're perfectly happy, and you keep on receiving more and more of God. No more pain. It's just perfection forever. So beautiful. And the ability to perceive heaven is a very important part of our spiritual life. St. Paul refers today to the eyes of your hearts enlightened. The eyes of your heart enlightened. And in the Bible, the heart is the deepest self. And so if we're going to perceive heaven, there's something deep within us that's going to have to change. I've had moments in prayer where I can taste heaven and I want it and I want to go there so badly. I can taste the joy. And when you start to taste it, you really perceive it. It starts to affect the way you see life and it starts to affect your actions. God is so good that he offers us this gift. None of us deserve it. It's beyond everything we can possibly imagine. But he's so good. That's what he offers us. And so today, if we see life is about moving to heaven, then that helps us understand why life is a test and a temporary assignment.